Welcome to the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America with Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett. Take it away, boys.
And welcome, everybody, to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you today. It is Monday, the 3rd of August. Already, we're into August. Who would have thunk it? And the PGA Tour and professional golf continues, and it continues in a big, big way as the PGA Championship is right here this week at Harding Park in San Francisco. So for the first time this year, we've got a major to talk about, the first major of the season. And with us, the very appropriate president of PGA of America, Susie Whaley, will be joining us here in just a little bit to talk about everything PGA Tour, and we're going to have a great time. We also have Brendan Sweeney, our good friend from French Lick Resort in French Lick, Indiana, who's going to join us as well today. So a great show headed your way. Thanks so much for being with us. Sit back, get comfortable. It should be very, very entertaining. And as always, Frank Bassett in our Nashville studios today. How you doing, Frank?
Hey, I'm potting an azalea, and I'm going to send it to Harding Park just because this is the season's first major.
Really?
And so we're going to send a potted azalea to Susie. She doesn't know this yet. Just to say, okay, this is just a little thank you from Golf Talk America. I thought that would be kind of fun.
It is. Yeah. It's the weird world, though, isn't it, that the
weird.
PGA would be the first and we'd be this late into, I mean, here we are in August and we have not had a major yet. But having said all that, it is what it is because of COVID-19. I'm excited. How about you? About seeing a first major and seeing all these guys without fans. Again, no fans, but still seeing what is arguably the best field of the year out there on the golf course.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. I'm excited, too. And I know a good friend of ours who's on the line with us right now is pretty excited himself, Mr. Brendan Sweeney, who's very familiar with hosting a senior PGA championship, I believe, and many other PGA of America events. Brendan, welcome in, buddy.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Doing good. How about you?
I am roasting. Roasting in the sun in Orlando, Florida, dodging hurricanes and getting ready to head up to French Lick for some fall time fun. So our summer season is passing us by, and now the fall kicks in. We've been busy as all get out, so we're happy.
Cool. It's going to be fun up there. We'll see you up there. We've got a lot of events happening over the next few months, and we'll sneak up, play some golf with you, hide out a little bit, and just have a little fun. What do you think, buddy, about this?
Brendan.
Yeah, go ahead, Tim.
I wanted to ask him real quick, if I could, Frank. Brendan, the neat thing about you being in Orlando there is because that's also the home of the NBA bubble for the restart of their season. So if any of those guys go down, you're right there, right? I mean, if the Mavericks or the Rockets or the Lakers or Clippers need somebody as a replacement, Brendan Sweeney is minutes away. So this is your chance, isn't it?
From Orlando, Florida, weighing at 5'10", 204 pounds. That's
with a 13-inch vertical.
The king of dribble, Mr. Brendan Sweeney.
Yeah, he's drilling down the court today.
Oh, God.
I tell you what, that might as well be on the other side of the world, man. I know some guys that work down there, and it's battened up. It's like Fort Knox. But
I'll bet.
Yeah, it's different, man. It's a freaked out, funky world down here. And it watching it on TV is actually even weirder when you watch it on TV. You know, I don't think the groove is there, but watching like the video boards behind the screens and just it's sort of funky. It's sort of like Rollerball. Remember that?
I love that movie. James Caan, former guest on Golf Talk America, James Caan.
Yeah,
great line James Caan gave us real quick, guys, is. He was asked by Danny Briggs, who was co-hosting at the time. He said, Jimmy, have you ever in your life thought you'd ever reach the pinnacle of your career and be on Golf Talk America? And James Caan said, what? I never even thought about it. Just shot Danny Briggs down. Great guess, but that was a good movie, by the way. Good.
I love Brian Bigelow. That's another great James Caan movie.
That's a great movie, too.
Tough one.
But we're not having James on the show. We're having Susie Whaley, whom you know very well. We all know very well.
She's great, man.
Is she the best or what?
Yeah.
I tell you what, if you look at like what Susie's gone through, you know, just becoming the first of everything, you know, the first women who played in a professional championship or in a professional event in like 58 years since Babes Aharius, you know, did it. You know, and then becoming the first lady to be on the PGA board, and then becoming the first lady to be the head, you know, the president of the PGA of America. That's huge. Yeah. And she takes it in stride, and she's a cool lady. So look forward to talking to her in a few.
Always positive, always upbeat. has her hands full this week in San Francisco and out there in a hot spot in the country with COVID-19. So we'll be talking to her about some of that and what it's like to have to put on a major tournament the size of this. And all the PGA professionals, the team of 20, I guess, that'll be there too. You'll be talking to her about that, I believe, Brendan.
Yeah, it's crazy. I know that in the last major event that we held, besides the Senior LPGA Championship, but the 2015 Senior PGA Championship that Colin Montgomery won, I know that such a big thing that you look at these tournaments is the setup of the course, and not only the setup, but you look at the corporate hospitality and where the fans are. And I was talking the other day with a buddy of mine, and I actually shouted up to my niece Sam at the tour. I said, how many strokes do you think have gone into effect by not having the fans there, or by not having, you know, the trampled down grass, or somebody bangs it out, like Justin Thomas yesterday.
And Brooks,
he bangs it dead left, and next thing you know, he cut the corner, and it's like, wow, where am I at now? That, you know, he would have been in the you know, the hacienda area where they were cleaning up everything. So who knows? It's definitely a factor that I don't think the golfers have considered. And then you look at Harding Park and the way that sets up too, with no spectators out there, you know, that grass has been growing. Gary Hague is just an absolute master of setting up a golf course. He and David Charles do a fabulous job this week, but they'll set that thing up. But if you go off the fairway, I mean, you know, it's going to be U.S. Open conditions for a PGA championship. I think that's going to set it up for just maybe a sleeper that some of that no one thinks of could walk away with this championship. The PGA championship has always been one where every once in a while someone sneaks out of the woods and captures a championship. Look at Rich Beam and John Daly. My God, it's crazy.
Yeah, this is not the last chance at glory. It's the first chance at glory this time. So,
yeah,
interesting spot. First major.
It'll also be the first time that Justin Thomas will be back in the number one spot after congratulations in order for him at the St. Jude over the past weekend, winning that and now moving back into number one as he heads to the PGA Championship, which he has won in the past. So that kind of sets up nicely, too, to see what a great field it's going to be with Koepka and everybody with, I guess, another underlying story, Jordan Spieth trying to go again for the career Grand Slam. So a lot of great things to talk about. And I think we should take a break and come back. We got Susie, and she's on a very tight schedule, when we appreciate her giving us a little bit of time. But let's take a break, and we can hook Susie up and get ready to talk to her, again, president of the PGA of America, about the upcoming major right around the corner here in San Francisco. So you're listening to Golf Talk America, and we'll be back with president of PGA of America, Susie Whaley, right after this. All right, welcome back to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews in the Dallas studios, Frank Bassett in the Nashville studios. We also have welcomed Brendan Sweeney, coming to us from beautiful and hopefully still there, Orlando, Florida. And now, the star of today's show, what we've all been waiting for, is talking with the lady herself who's in charge and has done a phenomenal job as president of PGA of America and has her hands full, because this is the big week. As the first major comes to us finally. It's been a long, long time, but finally, at Harding Park, we will have the PGA Championship this week coming up in San Francisco, and Susie Whaley joins us now. Susie, thanks so much for being with us. We do appreciate it.
No, I'm thrilled to be with you. How's everybody?
We're good.
Everybody's good. Everybody's good so far. So far,
hey,
we're pretty good.
Susie,
so
give me an idea if you're doing great.
it was a non-event in Florida, so I'm hoping the same for you.
Myrtle Beach is not faring so well, but it's still a tropical storm.
Oh, really?
70-mile-an-hour winds, by the way, guys, so. Update.
Oh,
there you go.
Hey, always happens. Well, Susie, this has been a unique week because of all that, but also it's a unique year, and nobody has to tell you that everything's been jumbled up as far as the PGA Tour and game tournaments being put on and taken away and canceled, and British Open not even being played this year. And here we find PGA Championship being the first major of the year, and all eyes are on Harding Park and San Francisco and that area. There won't be fans there, as we've talked about, and people were hoping earlier on that maybe that would be there would be fans allowed at this tournament. It doesn't look like it's going to happen maybe all year long. But it's a unique time for you guys to have a PGA Championship. Just give us an idea of what you guys have gone through. Has it been, other than the COVID, and because of that, very, very unique this year? Or is it business as usual? Or are there a lot of things that aren't that different than when you normally put on a PGA Championship?
No, I would think it's definitely not usual. We have, you know, our merchandise tent is the player locker room. So it's probably the biggest locker room ever in the history of championships, right, this week. But, you know, it's been a challenging year, as it's been for all businesses. But, you know, thankfully, our game is we can play it in a responsible way. It's conducive to social distancing. You know, golf is incredibly on a high right now, which we're excited about. We couldn't be more thrilled to be the first major of the year to bring some inspiration to those at home that are going to have an opportunity to watch over 175 hours of coverage. So we're ready to go. We're proud to be the first major. It's we think about it now. We moved from August, if you remember, last year with Bethpage taking place in May. And here we are right back to August. So thankful to Jay Monahan and the PGA Tour and our relationship with the tour of getting a date solidified. And as you said, we were really hopeful to be able to showcase this to fans, but we're going to do that around the world virtually, and we can't wait.
Susie, it's Brendan. How you doing?
Good.
Great to hear it. Hey, you know, I got to throw it in there. We were the host side of the 1924 PGA Championship at French Lick. And then in 2010, we hosted the Club Pro Championship. Couple great champions. We had, you know, Walter Hagen in 24 and Mike Small in 2010. What does it mean for the 20 guys that qualify to play in the event? And how does it differ from their day-to-day works, you know, through your PGA Works program and the PGA Junior League? What does it mean for you to see these guys go out there who work, you know, day-to-day, every day with the people on the course, and then they have that one big week they go out to the Harding Park and show off their skills?
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up, because we're so proud of our team of 20. And this year, unfortunately, we weren't able to host our PGA Professional Championship, which is our qualifier to play in the PGA Championship. So we went off our 2019 Player of the Year list. And, you know, just thrilled to have those 20 PGA professionals, as you mentioned, especially this year, who are working extremely hard at their facilities to offer the public and their members and their customers an outlet, a place to get out and spend some time on course in a healthy way. But, you know, as I said, golf is we are just really busy, as are these 20 who work in the business every single day. But, you know, no doubt they have been preparing. They're going to be ready to go. It's just such an honor to be able to cheer them on playing in a major championship. Ryan Vermeer is heading that list as our 2019 Player of the Year. This will be his fourth consecutive PGA Championship. We have Rob Labritz, who qualified last year for the cut. And so, you know, and so did Ryan. I mean, we have PGA professionals who are there to truly compete, showcase their skills. But more importantly, as PGA professionals across the country, we can't wait to cheer them on.
I think it's pretty cool that just from my experience, my first one was 2009 at Twin Warriors out in New Mexico. But just meeting these guys and continuing the relationship over the past, you know, 15 years, give or take, to see someone like Rob Labritz still playing, someone like Rod Perry, who I saw not too long ago. Actually, I got an insurance quote from his brother a couple of weeks ago over in New Smyrna Beach. But it should be exciting. And, you know, with our sidebar casino that we have, those are all guys who are coming in right around 1,000-1 to win the championship. So hopefully we can lay some shekels down on them.
Yeah, Susie.
There you go.
Yeah, Susie, we're going to have a huge, huge audience on TV and radio for this thing. It's going to be just hugely covered. But I want to jump to something else that you have to deal with day in and day out, and that's the recovery of back to golf. All of the PGA professionals across the world, the country, if you will, what's it like? I mean, you guys are coordinating, I'm sure, very closely with them on how to restart, how to build the rounds back up, and get the revenue flowing again.
Yeah, you know, when COVID really hit hard across the country, obviously, and restrictions were put in place, many places had golf shut down in their entirety. golf was up prior to that, meaning what we say golf is up, rounds played, lessons taken, merchandise sold. And then certainly we had a stall out when facilities were shut down. And in that time period, the PGA of America, alongside our allied associations, including the Club Managers Association, the USGA, and many others, got together and really realized that we needed to give some resources, obviously, to those that work within the industry, our PGA professionals, but so many others. The Golf Course Superintendents Association collaborated with us as well to really follow CDC guidelines. And state by state, where this got challenging for us in delivering back to golf, was each state, each county had different restrictions. So it was evolving on a day-to-day basis. But the back to golf guidelines were done alongside of the CDC guidelines. We're full into it now. We're excited to say that we're almost 14% up in the game in June alone. Really exciting as we're forecasting almost 20% up amongst juniors through year end, meaning almost 500,000 more juniors are taking up the game. So, you know, for us, it's just a wonderful opportunity as PGA professionals to welcome people to a golf course that perhaps have never been, to welcome back people who used to play a lot and didn't really have an opportunity to continue that. And certainly for our core golfers, but more importantly, to give people that sense of, getting outside in a socially responsible way where they can enjoy the game. Many flagsticks still in, obviously, rakes removed. But I also find, at least talking to my PGA professional friends, that if people aren't quite so concerned with their performance, they're just happy to be out and they're realizing how fun and amazing the game can be. On the other hand, PGA professionals are working harder than ever to make sure that people in their communities have that opportunity to get out. So the days are quite long. Our PGA professionals have this amazing grit and resilience to welcome the community to their facilities and are doing it as responsibly as possible alongside their county guidelines. So it's a big undertaking, but one we're ready for. And our PGA professionals, I couldn't be more proud of the effort they're putting in to grow the game amidst the challenges they're facing in their business and at home too.
We're joined by Susie Whaley, the president of PGA of America, of course, talking about golf in general, but of course the upcoming first major of the year, the PGA Championship at Harding Park. And that will be played, Susie, as we've mentioned, without fans, as all the tournaments so far, going all the way back to the restart with Charles Schwab Cup. How do you feel about that? And was there any discussion at all or in recent weeks about having fans? Was it shut down way back when and never really brought back again? Or was there any hope of having some fans for some of the majors or some of the tournaments as we got into the summer, whether it's August, September, October, later on? Or was it just a foregone conclusion, this is the way it's going to be?
No, we were incredibly hopeful that we could host with fans, obviously paying attention on a daily basis to the California guidelines. You know, our team worked extremely closely with Governor Newsom and Mayor Breed in San Francisco to ensure that we were following all the protocols that needed to be followed to host the event. And, you know, at this time, it was determined that, you know, fans would not be allowed to be present on facility. Certainly, we have a small group to work the actual event there on site, but we're keeping the bubble very tight as we are all loving watching the game, having sporting events happen. And, you know, we credit golf with giving us that opportunity. So certainly, we would have loved to have fans on site. But we are engaging with our partners CBS and ESPN and ESPN Plus to ensure that people from home can experience the championship in a way perhaps they never had through our social media channels, through ShotLink, through the hours of coverage we're offering, where they can really feel like they're there, even though they may not be there. So what I think is, I've watched golf, obviously, the last 6 or 7 weeks on television. Loved it. Loved the LPGA. Came back last week. Loved watching Danielle Kang, a former KPMG Women's PGA Championship win. You know, and I think in a major, what I'll miss is that roar that, you know, something has happened on the facility and you're not quite sure what. But the players at this point, they've been out there enough weeks now. It's, you know, this event, as Kerry Haig, our chief championship officer, does the best in the business, is all about the players. It's all about showcasing them, showcasing this amazing public facility on the West Coast where we haven't been in so long. Two back-to-back municipal facilities for the PGA Championship. And, you know, we hope everybody tunes in to catch a glimpse of it, to be a part of it. And we tend to have incredibly strong finishes. So I'm looking forward to another strong finish on Sunday.
Susie, from a television viewer fan experience, we've talked about this at PGA Tour events leading up to this. How nice is it right now, though, the good side of the bad, to be able to see the entire course, to see the angles, to be able to see what the guys are seeing out there without all of the stands and the pavilions and the bleachers and the fans? It's just interesting to be able to see the golf course as it was designed.
Yeah, and this particular golf course, especially, they've four new tee boxes out there. The fairways, they've narrowed the fairways. obviously, the rough is major length rough, as Kerry Haig would say, and the greens will be at major speed or championship speed, as Kerry always says. But to your point, you know, some of COVID, of course, respectfully speaking, for those who have suffered through this in any way. But it has given us a new lens to not only showcase the telecast, but showcase the players, as you mentioned, showcase the architecture of the golf course, and to bring that experience to the consumer and to the marketplace in a way that perhaps wasn't thought of before. So the originality of this, having to think through, well, how can we ensure that a fan feels like they're here, even if they're not here? And how can we really provide an opportunity for those watching to want to go pick up a club and visit a local PGA professional to play the game? That's certainly our goal and our mission, all while at the same time cheering on the best male players in the world.
Well said. I have to ask one more quick question. I'll throw it to Brendan, and I know that we have to let you go because you have something important to do this week. But there's sentimental favorites out there. I know I'm not going to put you on the spot with this question, but we certainly, all of us as golf fans, not media, have sentimental favorites. What are you hearing? Who are a few of the sentimental favorites that you're hearing from your friends and colleagues out there?
No, you can put me on the spot. Come on, you guys. I'm always used to that.
I'm talking Dallas, sure, Texas. Sure. You know exactly where I'm going. Our
I'm
good friend Jordan
Beach,
Spieth.
Baby. I'm going to the three P. So
there you go. Yeah.
If you see him in public, yeah, today, I took you there.
His game got hot last week in Memphis. It really did.
His game did get hot. I mean, I think there's a few storylines that I'll be following for sure. Brooks, obviously, as you just mentioned, going for the three P. Tiger going for the 16th major. You know, Justin Thomas, three generation, his father and grandfather, PGA professionals. I mean, he when I was on the board of directors, he was running around grabbing as many autographs as possible at the PGA Championship. So he's a sentimental favorite for me, obviously. You know, you've got Jordan Spieth going for the Grand Slam. It's just, there's just so many. You got Colin Morikawa, who just took Justin down to the wire. We all thought Justin finished that off with a 51-foot putt, and Colin's like, nope, not today, right on top of him. So, I mean, the end of the day, there's just so many unbelievable stories in the game. And, you know, to pick one, I realize I'm not picking one. It's just too hard, but I'm definitely following some of those storylines. And what I root for the most is I want to see it come down to that last hole. What would even better, sudden death playoff to finish it off. And I'm just looking forward to handing out that Wanamaker trophy on Sunday night.
It's 42 pounds of fun. I hope you have a good time with it, Susie. Thank you for your time. And you have a wonderful week.
Well, this year I don't have to lift it up, which is great.
It is heavy.
No touching. Yeah,
there's no touching it this year. So I got out of that. Nice talking to you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Thanks, bye. Susie. Take care.
All right. There she is. Susie Whaley, again, President, PGA of America. And, yeah, I'm glad we got as much time with her as we did because she's got a busy, busy week. She'll be heading to San Francisco. She was just telling us that she's in Florida, but I'm sure either tonight or tomorrow or very shortly she'll be heading to the San Francisco area there. So I'm really looking forward to it, guys. I don't know about you, but it has been different. You're watching. There's not the fans and everything. And so it's a different environment, seeing the greens and the approach shots without all the hospitality and the tenting and everything that goes around it.
I love that.
I've gotten used to. And,
I love it.
And you suddenly, you see that the guys don't have the bumpers that we've talked about before.
Four hits.
So you can't fly the greens and still know that you're going to be basically banged back onto the green with a shot. But this is going to be, the pressure's there, and this is going to be, once again, you know, what it's all about, the majors and everything else. We have hardly talked about Tiger, but I guess I'll bring him up. Are you guys both leaning that way? Would you like to see Tiger more than any of the other storylines, or what's your favorite here, Frank?
You know my favorite is going to be Jordan getting the Grand Slam. I mean, Brooks Koepka, three-peat, awesome, historic. Tiger Woods, you know, adding another major, closing in on Jack, incredible. But I'm just, you know, you're right there with him. We know Jordan very, very well. We're close with his family, and that's just my sentimental favorite. Jordan Spieth turning everything on and not getting down on himself this week, not getting upset with the bad shot, and just playing it shot by shot by shot, and pick up the trophy and we'll go home. That's what I'd like to see.
Well, I'm in a big pool here. I'm in a pool, and I got to pick 10 guys. There's 115 guys in this pool. So if you place in the top five, you get a pretty good chunk of change. And so basically what I'm trying to do is pick all the guys that I think will finish in the top 10.
Sentimental, Brendan, not fiduciary.
Yeah, yeah.
Sentimental, not fiduciary, buddy. Come on.
That's crazy.
Brendan, who's your sentimental favorite?
Oh, it's got to be Shane Lowry. Because we were supposed to watch him at the Irish Open, and that didn't happen. So
I know. We were supposed to be there.
How many guys do you think didn't make it? I think the alternate list, they're at 9 so far. But I wonder if anybody had to drop out because of travel restrictions.
I think they lifted them. Didn't they lift some of the travel restrictions? And
they did, but I think, remember we talked about this last week, Frank. Lee Westwood, I believe, unless he changed his mind.
No, he didn't.
Said that he didn't like the back and forth, up and down, that they literally were saying on the PGA Tour, you could test positive, but keep playing. If you tested positive, but you're already in the tournament, there are some different restrictions. They changed it quite a bit and loosened it quite a bit. And so I don't know any other than that, but I know Lee Westwood said because of that, he didn't think he was going to, or he definitely said at that time he was not going to be coming over from England to play in it. I don't know about the other guys. I don't know how you turn it down. I mean, these guys, here's my thought on it. They're young athletes
PGA
for the most part.
With
Phil and Tiger aside, they're young athletes that are in their primes. And for the most part, COVID is not really affected, other than you could get sick, certainly, but not in a fatal way. And I don't think they have that feeling about it that, oh, my God, if I go there, something really tragic is going to happen. So it's a major, and I don't know that these guys really want to miss majors because they don't come along. You see, from Tiger's standpoint, you can go years and years and not win any when it looked like you were going to win 30 of them. So I don't think they want to miss it.
Well, I want to go to something that we talked about prior to that. This is the golf course and the setup and not having a lot of stands and chalets and all that. Brendan, when you hosted at your place at French Lick Resort, the senior PGA Championship, the way that course is designed, it was like it is today. I mean, you didn't have all these chalets right on top of everything.
No.
So
no, it was that's the way that Pete designed it, where really I'm trying to think just in my mind right now, if I don't think any holes at all were affected. I mean, the 18th hole, which is our ninth hole, all the bleachers are behind. The corporate hospitality is up high, and it was unaffected.
It was wide open.
That was a genius of Pete. But I think there's some factors that go into play. And we've been putting on championships for a while. And unfortunately, we haven't had a lot of spectators, so we're used to it.
Well, it's been good up there. If you haven't gone to French Lick to check out a tournament, you need to go.
Looking at the alternate list, you know, we go back and look at Crooked Stick back in 91 with John Daly being, what was he, the 10th alternate?
Yes.
So the guys who have dropped out so far from Ireland, you get Patrick Harrington, Molinari, Paul Waring, who I believe is from England, J.B. Holmes from Kentucky, Charles Howell III, Brendan Grace from South Africa. Let's see who else. John Daly's out.
Positive.
Out and Ryan Moore's out. So,
yeah, that's just the start. You'll see more. There's quite a few, but it's going to be. Guys, think about this. It's going to be so exciting because of all the coverage you're going to see. And TPC Harding Park is a sight to see. It's a golf track.
Yeah,
it's tough.
Yeah. It's a misnomer when we say that it's a a public golf course? Because it is, as Bethpage is. But neither one of those are your average, let's go play with our buddies.
That'd be a
no. Pull carts. Yeah, and shoot a nice little 123. Yeah, that Harding Park is gorgeous. You guys are going to love it, first of all. Fans out there listening, just the views, as you can imagine, yeah. In San Francisco. So there's some great views there at Harding Park, and sits up on some bluffs, and just beautiful, beautiful golf course. We expect it to be probably typical San Francisco summer weather, right, as Mark Twain would tell you.
Oh.
The coldest winter.
It's going to be 6 degrees, just fog, crap weather. And I think maybe, if you look at a European guy winning it, that's why I like Shane Lowry.
We talked about Frank. You mentioned Jordan Spieth being a sentimental favorite. This is the one major he hasn't won, and he and Rory are right there, as is Phil, but are right there, one away from the Grand Slam in the careers. I totally forgot until we talked about this in pre-show that Jordan had a really good PGA Championship last year. That he finished in third place. Brooks Koepka had a bad final round. We all remember he's 4 over, but still 1 by 2 over DJ. If you remember, there were only 7 guys under par, 7 all of last year in the tournament, the PGA Championship. I expect, and we were talking about how difficult the course conditions are, maybe a lot of the same here, that you're not going to see a lot of guys in red numbers. Rory finished +1, and he was a top 10 player. So Jordan actually, despite the fact he's still in his drought, was in his drought last year, put on a pretty good show. So maybe, I don't know, I mean, what a great story if he were to break out of his 3-year drought with winning a major and making it his career Grand Slam.
Yeah, it's going to be great. I mean, I'm excited. I'm so excited about finally getting to a major championship, but I'm dead serious about the azalea. I'm sending Susie an azalea to her house. And so she won't know that because she probably won't hear this show. So I'm sending
Brendan's dead serious about winning some money. How much good money could you win here, Brendan?
He's won probably 35 or 40,000 last year that he didn't report.
Yeah,
I think it was several million dollars that he's won.
That's what it was.
Yeah. It was close to like $1,500. So
really, not
that
bad.
In the she money category.
You know, by the way,
money she don't know about.
By the way, the last time I was at the French Lick Resort, I went to the casino and Uncle Frank won some money too. So I was happy about that.
Well,
does Uncle Sam know about Uncle Frank?
I beg your pardon.
Does Uncle Sam know about Uncle
Frank?
Oh,
absolutely. I'll report every penny.
Oh.
The last time I was on an airplane, we were at the Chicago Golf Show. It was the first of March, and I hooked up with my college buddies, and we all went to the casino in Des Plaines, Illinois, and we were playing craps all night long, and I won a ton of cash. Came home, had a blast with it, but that was it. That seems like 2 years ago, man. That was the last time I flown.
I remember that because Brendan, you said something to your daughter. She was going to buy something. And you said, well, my wallet's over there. Grab it. And she grabbed it, opened it up, and went, what is all this money? And you went, oops. And you got caught.
What are all these singles for?
Yeah,
no.
Let it rain.
God. Hey, guys, that was great having Susie on. And another thing that's great about this is that we're now part of Morning Read, boys.
Yes.
We all know that. It's a great publication. Go to morningread.com and check it out and subscribe.
Frank, if they're listening to the Morning Read, they probably already know about us, don't they?
I would hope so. I would think so. But it doesn't matter.
It never hurts to remind them.
Never hurts to remind them. But we are part of Morning Read now, and we're very happy to have been invited to be part of Morning Read. And so it comes in your inbox. You can't get away from Golf Talk America anymore. Also thankful for the French Lick Resort and its sponsorship for all these many years we've been doing this show, as well as...
I'd say enjoy it as long as we can.
Stop it. As well as... As well as Club Corp.
Let it rain.
Stop it. As well as Club Corp. Well, we love our partners at Club Corp in Dallas, Texas, headquarters. So go to clubcorp.com and check them out. Go to frenchlick.com, check them out, and go to morningread.com and check us out. So there you go. I've done my duty.
Perfect.
I'm done.
There you go. All the plugs. All the plugs in there.
Brendan, any last parting words?
Yeah, you want to say anything before?
I like my three little picks at the backside that no one's really talking about so far. Sungjae Im.
Yeah.
Like him, like Ryan Palmer.
Yeah. Right. We love Ryan Palmer. He's a good friend.
What about Sergio? Sergio doing Run Up the Hill at Medina. I was there, baby. That was PGA lore.
Yep. When Sergio went running up that hill, that was pretty exciting stuff.
So, Who knows?
So there
somebody's
going
to win.
Yep, somebody's
going to be one of us. I guarantee that.
And we'll be back on with Golf Talk America after this tournament's over with and talk about the winner, right, Tim?
Yep. We're looking forward to it. And again, great storylines. And we've said all these dramatic, kind of big name storylines. The PGA Tour is also well known for the John Daly's and on and on. Sean McKeel's, that Rich Beams that we're not going to be talking about. And people don't really even think about it. So maybe that's in the works too. There might be somebody, if you look way down the list of in the field of a name you're not even that familiar with, it could be their week. Makes it great. It's just, and on top of the fact that it's all the drama. I mean, it's a major championship, so every little putt, every missed green, everything that doesn't go right seemed to get magnified, and makes us all feel better about our own bad games
when you see
them, the guys struggle out there. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
It does.
All right. That should just about do it.
I want to give a shout out to San Francisco. I know it's a great place, but I feel really bad for them that they're not going to get that big push of the crowd coming out there. So, good luck to you guys.
Yeah, it won't be the same, but they'll do the best they can, and it should be a great venue for a great championship. Thank you to Susie Whaley, president of PGA of America, for joining us, for Frank Bassett, and Brendan Sweeney with the French Lick Resort. I'm Tim Matthews. Thank you, everyone, for being here, and remember to join us next time right here on Golf Talk America.